Hey guys, welcome back to Enchanted, the podcast where we look at famous fairy tales and figure out the truth behind them. So why don't you grab a cup of tea with a touch of fairy dust for today's extraordinary episode where we uncover the truth of a story that will live through generations to come. And on that note, I am pleased to introduce our special guest, Cinderella.
Hi guys. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. This is so special. I'm so excited for you to share your life. And what are the thoughts? What are you thinking? How are you feeling?
I'm just so happy and honored to be here, and I think this is a really great platform finally for me to share my story and how I lived through it and, kind of also share my learnings from
Yeah.
it and talk about that. So I'm just really
That's
excited.
amazing. Yeah, so why don't we just dive straight in? And why don't you tell me a bit about your childhood before your birth mom passed away?
So, I think my life, I would say before my birth mom passed away, is like the picture perfect life, two parents that love each other, an only child. I had all the attention. It was perfect, And I loved my I do love I love my birth mother so much. She's like the nicest She was the nicest woman I've ever known, and I think in a lot of ways I am who I am because of her, which is really strange because she passed away when I was just 9 years old, so I don't necessarily remember her that well because
Yeah.
even in my conscious memory she was quite sick, so she wasn't really herself. But I feel her in me, and it's great. And sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, honestly, I think it was like God's like blessing that I didn't ever get to know her too well before she passed away, because I don't know if I would have ever recovered from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think most of the people that knew her couldn't really get over her passing, including my father. And I already had a lot to deal with in my life. If I had this added grief, I don't know if I would be here today,
Yeah, I definitely understand. And what really happened in those years after she passed away, where your dad remarried and stuff like that? So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah. So, something that the story gets wrong, or the story doesn't really talk about, is that my father didn't really remarry because he fell in love again. He couldn't
Oh,
he My
okay.
father was never really the same after her passing. But he actually got married again for me. He thought that if he can provide a family for me, that he could then sort of detach from the world and go into his, I would say, like a mental coma, so he doesn't have to deal with the loss of my mother. And that's exactly what he did. He got me a family, which obviously ended up not working out as he had planned, but he did. He got me a family. He did it for me. He didn't really love my stepmother. And then once they were moved in and in our lives, he kind of checked out. He just like mental blank. He I don't think he's spoken even 10 words in the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's really sad to hear. I mean, you spoke about how before that if your mom passed away now, you would not be able to recover, and it's so disheartening to see your dad in a state like that. So did that, so obviously then you were maybe closer to your stepmother, and was the relationship good there or was it bad? What was that like?
Well, my relationship with my stepmother definitely wasn't good. I
Mm.
think she was quite abusive.
Was it like physical abuse?
No, it was rarely physical. I think when it was physical, it wasn't directed towards me. Only like it was also towards her own children. So I wouldn't really count that, but I think a lot of her abuse was verbal and emotional. And it started on pretty like early.
Yeah, so within
I think the first week of them moving in, I was asked to move out of my room because my stepsisters didn't want to share the room with each other. And I moved into the attic, which, if you've ever been to an attic, it's like this cold, dark place in the top of the house.
Yeah.
It's not a great place to stick a child in. But that was my reality. And I think at the time I didn't even know like if what was happening to me was bad. I didn't know what was going on. I was like too young. I was just 20 years old, right? And so
Yeah.
it was bad. I think for the first many years of my life, from I think 12 to 17, I would say, I felt like I was having an out of body experience. It's like I was just watching myself go through all of that. Obviously, this isn't about the chores that she made me do, which, the story that we all know, it's like Cinderella is so sad because her mother is making her do all this work and sleeping in the cinders. But that's not what it was about. I think it was always about loneliness. It was about the fact that I just felt like an outsider in my own house. And it's not a good life to have. And
Did
yeah.
you ever want to talk to someone about it or confront someone, confide in them?
I think, you know what, this is actually such a great thing that you bring up. It's something I wanted to discuss, is that children, when they go through depression, they don't know what's going on, especially when they're like this lonely place. And so a couple times I was like, I think I should go to the police. Like this is not normal. I should go to the police. This is when I was a little bit older. I think I was 14 at this point. And then I remember thinking, I was like, yeah, but what am I gonna do? Like, go to the police and do what? She doesn't hit me, so I don't have any scars to show. So what are they gonna do? Do I go and say I'm sad, help me? Like, no one's gonna take a 14-year-old saying that seriously. So I think that's something that I really would like our society today to work towards, is like being more okay with talking about childhood depression. And I think there's like a perception now that depression comes at a certain age. It comes when you're a teenager, or it comes when you're having a midlife crisis. But that is so untrue. You can be depressed in any situation at any age, and you should be able to feel comfortable with asking for help at that point,
Yeah, definitely. And was there an exact moment when you were like, okay, I've had enough. This is it. I need to change my life and figure out a way to move on and be happier?
Yes. So this is when my story started transforming, is when it got kind of good for me. When I turned 16, I was in my senior year of high school. I was seeing all my friends and my stepsisters apply to university. And it was something that never occurred to me that I can apply to college and go there and be happy and have a life of my own. But now that I was seeing all these people around me apply and get excited for this, I was like, you know what? I can do this. Like, this can be my thing. Like, I can apply to college and get in. But then I was obviously didn't have any money for that, and I had no support from my stepmother. I had like no help from her, and I think I felt really trapped for some time. I was like, I want to escape, I want to leave, but I have no help from anyone or anything. Until one day, this was like a sign from the universe. I was mopping the or sorry wiping the desk, my stepmother's office desk, and I saw her laptop open. And in all my life, I'd never seen her leave her laptop, her prized possession, open like that. And it was actually open on this email. And I only noticed it because the font on that email was really pretty, which is so stupid in retrospect. But it was actually an invite to a charity ball. So it was for it was an event where all these rich people went to donate money for women's education. And at this point, I was like, this has to be a
That's
sign.
fate. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this has to be fate. This is what I've been struggling with for the last 2 weeks, and not now to see this. And immediately I was like, I have to go to this ball. I have to reach out to someone. I have to find someone, the people that organized it, and I have to tell them that I need this money. I need to turn my life around, you know? And so I was like, I'm going to do it. This is the only chance I have. So I think that evening or like the next day, I went to buy a dress because I was like, I'm not going to go in like ripped jeans and a crop top and be like, please give me all this money. I need an education. So I was like, you know, I have to look good so I can enter and talk to them and convince them. And so here's an interesting fact. In the story, in the original story that you all know and love, there's a fairy godmother. And obviously, there's no fairies and godmothers in the real world. But
unfortunately,
the world would be a much better place if we had them. But the closest thing I had to a fairy godmother, in my head, she's a fairy godmother, is this woman that I met when I was shopping for my dress. So I'm like in the changing room trying to zip the dress and I can't reach my back. It was like, and I'm like struggling and she hears me struggling and she opens the curtain and I'm like, oh, is this allowed? And she's like this elderly woman. She's had the sweetest smile and she's like, what's wrong? Like, is this a problem? And I'm like, yeah, could you please help me do my dress? And she helps me with the zip. And then she goes straight, like point blank, this dress is horrible. And I'm like, wow, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
And she's like, no, come on, you have to look for something better. And I was like, I don't have money for anything better. And she's like, just don't think about the money. And I was like, okay. So we looked for a very nice dress. And then at the counter, she offered to pay for me. And I was like, thank you so much. And then she asked me, where are you wearing this? Is it for a date? And I was like, I wish I never made eye contact with a guy before. She's like, so what is it for? Is it like an important event? And I'm like, you know what? I can't really explain it to you, but this event will change my life if it goes well. And she's like, well, for something that important, you can't be having your hair looking like that and your nails looking like that. So we have to go to a hairdresser and a nail lady and fix you up. And I was like, thank you. Like, thank you. That's what I was thinking. It's like, I need a mini goal before I go for this huge, huge ball. And so she took me to her hair lady and everything. And we got dressed up for the ball. And it was great. And when I know in the original story, it says when Cinderella entered the ball, everyone's jaws dropped and they were in awe of who this beautiful creature is. That, let me tell you, that did not happen in real life.
No, you're kidding. You're so pretty. I can't imagine it.
Nobody cared. I'm telling you. Well, actually, it was a masquerade ball. This is a huge detail.
Oh.
And I need to tell you something that you have to keep in mind. I had a porcelain mask. Okay.
Okay.
It was this beautiful red mask. And so just keep that in mind. So then
in my memory box.
Amazing. So then I enter the ball, nobody cares about me, no one's looking at me, and I'm like, okay, who do I talk to? And I see in the corner of my eye this boy, he's just sitting there, just like me, has no friends. And I'm like, okay, I should go talk to him. And we spoke, we hit it off really, really well. I think he was like the first real person I'd ever spoken to outside of my family. And I felt a kind of comfort with him. So I was able to share everything with him. You know, he was like, why are you here? How did you get here? And I just told him my life story about my stepmother, about everything. And he was so nice about it. He was like so understanding. And then guess what I find out just minutes before I have to leave? I find out that he's the son of the organizers of the ball.
Oh my god.
Totally get me to meet them and ask for the help that I need. And I was like, oh my god, this is perfect. And just before I could give him my contact details, I see my stepmother leaving, and from the corner of my eye, I can see her winding up, and I'm like, oh my God, I have to leave right now if I have any
Oh
chance
no.
of not getting caught. And
Yeah.
so I was like, I'm so sorry. And I ran, and it was like a chaotic thing that happened, and my mask fell and it broke into two pieces. And I couldn't leave the ball with my face out because I didn't
Yeah.
want to get caught. So I picked up a piece of the mask and I just went, and I reached home in time. Nothing happened. It was all
Thank
great.
God, yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know, I lost my chance. That was my one chance to get help. And, you know, I was a little bit depressed for the first couple of days after the ball. And then I realized, well, I didn't realize. So something happened. That guy that I was speaking to, his name is Prince, by the way. He,
Oh, okay.
yeah, I know. And so he ended up really wanting to get back in touch with me, right? And he didn't know how to, because I didn't give him any contact information, not even my name. Couldn't like I couldn't, I didn't have the chance to do this. And so he had this brilliant idea of starting an Instagram hashtag to find people from the party, and hopefully one of them would be me. And so everybody started
Wow.
posting on that hashtag. It was great. And I obviously didn't have a phone or anything at this point, so I didn't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And then fate was really in my favor, and one of my stepsisters happened to post a picture, a selfie with the other piece of my red mask right behind them. And it was glowing in all of its glory.
Oh my
And he
gosh.
saw the picture. He saw the piece of the mask. He was like, he tracked her down. He came over to her house in the night. So very considerate man, I must tell you. If he came during the day, I would not like be alive the next day. But he came in the night and he was like, I just need you to talk to my parents, you know. It wasn't anything romantic, like the story. It says that he wanted to marry me, and the glass slipper obviously wasn't real. That just people can't dance in glass slippers. Come on, you know?
Yeah.
And he did not want to marry me. That would be extremely creepy. But he was like, I just want you to come and speak to my parents. And I was like, I want to speak to your parents, so let's do it. We did it. We snuck out in the middle of the night, spoke to his parents. They offered their help. And then I got to come back and tell my stepmother I'm leaving. And that
Wow.
was the most magical moment of my life.
I can't even imagine. So, did you end up going to university?
Of course, I took their help. I got into a great college. I ended up going and completing my degree. And yeah.
So, are you still in contact with Prince? Or, like, what's
Actually,
going on?
we ended up dating while I was in university.
Oh
And
my God.
recently, hold your breath for this is a big announcement. We actually got married.
Oh my God. Congratulations. That's
Yeah. It
amazing.
was great.
Wow.
It was like fate. It was meant
That's
to be. It
amazing.
was
Yeah.
so I think finally I feel closure and happiness in my life. And
Yeah.
yeah.
So I'm curious to know that if your past affected your relationship with Prince and how that, really changed the dynamic of your relationship or anything like that.
I mean, that's a really interesting question. And I think yeah, when I was in college, and we just begun dating, we just started dating, it was hard for me. It was like I obviously have all these abandonment issues, so I just felt like anything I would do that he wouldn't like was like deadly to me. So I used to get anxiety about, you know, doing anything that would not please him, because I was scared, like, what if he leaves me? What if his parents decide that, oh, they don't want to fund me anymore, which, you know, they would never do that. This was all just my
Yeah.
lady speaking. And so it was hard. It was a hard couple months in the beginning, but then, it's what was meant to be. I was meant to end up with him, and it all worked out in the end. And yeah, he
That's
was really
amazing. I
supportive.
love that. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. Thank you for the
Thank
listeners
you
for
for having
listening to
me.
her
Thank you so
story.
much.
I'm so in awe and moved by your story, and I'm excited to for our viewers or our listeners to really take in our message. So do you have like a special message that you would like to give to our listeners?
I think I would just want to say that guys, no matter how old, guys and girls, and theys and thems, no matter how old you are, what stage of life you're in, if you're feeling upset, if you feel like you might be depressed, if you feel hopeless, there's always help out there. Don't invalidate your feelings because you think you don't deserve to get help. Everyone deserves to get help, honestly. And I just want you guys to know your self-worth, and just life is too short to be depressed for the first half of it. Take it from me.
Yeah,
And yeah, I
definitely.
hope you guys will get help if you need to. It's just
Yeah, definitely.
very important.
I think it's about taking the first step, and I'm sure that your story will change lives and really help other
I
people.
really, really hope
So
you will.
thank you so much for coming on today. It means so much
Thank you
for
so much
us
for
and our
having me.
listeners.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy I got to do this.
We're so happy that you got to share your story. And for our listeners, why don't you guys tune in next week for our exclusive interview with Ariel?
Oh my God, I'm so happy you're having her. She's actually one
Really?
of my really close friends, and she's gonna be so
Really?
happy. Yes, she has crazy stories from the underground life. Trust me. You guys are gonna
We're
love her.
so
I'm so excited for you to meet her.
excited to hear that.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Thank
So
you for
thank you
having me.
again.
Thank you
Thank you.
guys. Bye.
Bye.